Given the breadth of the topic, I'm actually only going to talk about one of them this morning. This has actually been a lot of fun for me, working through all of these and considering the nature of God as I've looked at each one of these different characteristics, because the fruit of the Spirit is really, how do we look like God in our own lives? How do we give the character of God life in us? Faithfulness is an interesting one, partly because it's an interesting word. The way that we translate from Greek or Hebrew into English, we sometimes lose a little bit along the way. Or we make substitutions that aren't 100%, don't have all the implications, or we bring in words that maybe have more implications than what they are being translated from. That's always a problem with translation. But when I was looking at faithfulness, one of the things that really stuck out is that the Hebrew, now of course in Galatians we're looking at Greek, but I'm sure that Paul had a certain measure of the Hebrew meaning in mind when he was using words. This is his background. He would think and consider Scripture probably as much in Hebrew as in anything else. He was raised as a Pharisee. That's how they knew the Scriptures. So when he thought of Scriptures, he would think of them that way. And I think sometimes when he was using words, he would think of words probably first coming from that background. In 2 Kings chapter 18, we have a usage of the root of the word faithfulness. 2 Kings 18:16. At that time, Hezekiah stripped the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid and gave it to the king of Assyria. Anybody know where the word faithfulness is in that passage? It's that word pillar. That's the root that in Hebrew ties into the word faithfulness. It's used in a secular sense, in a kind of common language sense. It's used for something that supports or holds up something, particularly the doorposts that are on either side of the entryway into the building. Those are your trimmer studs on the doorpost that support the header over the door. They give us strength. And so faithfulness is going to mean to strengthen something and hold it up, prop it up, give it some support underneath. And it's from that idea in the word that it's to build that structure to hold something up. From that idea, we then get the application into the spiritual sense that faithfulness involves being constant, to have a character of being available, being a trustworthy, steadfast support to others, someone who is always there, always getting the job done. A pillar holding up the door is no good if it only works half the time. It's one of those things that kind of needs to be there all the time for it to be any good. It has to be faithful. And that's where we get that idea. In faithfulness is that constant application, the constant ability to do something. I thought that was a real interesting connection as we go back and we look at faithfulness, that it comes from that very basic mechanical idea. And when we talk about faithfulness in terms of who we are and how we live. Now, we've looked at these different things. This is, you know, the Holy Spirit working with us to produce these outcomes within us, is that if He is producing faithfulness in us, if He is making us a constant support, a help, there's really a couple of directions that we need to look at that. And the first one is that faithfulness has an application of how are we faithful within the family of believers? How are we faithful to one another? How are we faithful to others? And then we need to look at how are we faithful toward God? And the relationships between faithfulness toward God and faithfulness toward others, we'll see some of those in there. But when we talk about faithfulness toward other people, there again, that idea of constantly being there, of being a support, of being the pillar that holds up. This is something that in marriage vows and things, we occasionally talk about faithfulness and we talk about being faithful in marriage. And the idea that we're constantly there, we constantly are true, we are constantly being a helper, being an assistant, being one who is always there to support our spouse. And in the church, we have that sense, faithfulness within the church, the faithfulness of the believers to one another is one where we are to be a support to one another. We are to be the prop and stay. And when we were going through Hebrews, I talked about this a little bit, and we're going to go back to Hebrews. Just in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, any of you who have a memory that you can think back this far, good luck. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching." See, here's an example of, or an explanation of what it means to be faithful within the church. That he starts out, he says that if we're going to be faithful, we need to hold on to what we hope in. This is faith, is hold fast. Well, that hold fast, that expression hold fast, is really, again, if we go into the Greek and Hebrew meanings, that's a similar root to the idea of being faithful. And so, be faithful to the confession of our hope. That's our reason, because God has given us reason to be faithful. He's given us a reason for that hope. Because He is faithful, we should be faithful toward that as well. We should hold fast to it. Hang on. And I like that it says without wavering, and as I was, mentally picturing the doorposts and stuff, is that rubber doorposts wouldn't work very well, would they? We don't do well as a faithful follower of Christ if we waver. If we sway back and forth in the wind and we don't stand firm and provide a solid support. And he also tells us, he says, don't forsake the assembling together. This is another one of those where how do we prove faithful? We do something all the time. We do it with constancy. And so, don't forsake. Don't take a break. Don't be gone. I mean, yeah, we all get sick. We have vacations. We have family things. Things come up. Sometimes we're not always there. But he says, don't just stop assembling together. He says, be faithful in your assembling together. Be faithful to come together as the people of God. He says, this is how you prove faithfulness within the family, within the church. And then he gives some instruction on that. He says, you be faithful to be there. Be present. But he also says, exhorting one another. And there's that next step, is that being faithful is not just being the one who is there, that you're in your pew every week, but that you're also one who is exhorting, encouraging, helping, teaching, that we are all active parts of a growing, living church, that we have our roles, we have our places, that we take part in the family. We don't have the privilege. I mean, you could call it a privilege. I don't know. Maybe it's not really a privilege. We don't have the right to just sit on the side and observe. As part of the family of Christ, we have a responsibility to be an active participant and a constant active participant, shoring up the church, being those solid posts that hold up the church. We don't use the term as often anymore, but it used to be that the people who were the senior saints, the ones who were the real solid participants in the church and made everything work, were referred to as the pillars of the church. You know, and you may have heard that, but they were the ones who held it up. They provided the support. Well, every single Christian is called to be a pillar. When we're told to be faithful, literally, I mean, literally, in the really literal sense of the word literal, we're being told to be a pillar. Remember, we went back to 2 Kings, the word pillar, faith, faithfulness, are all the same sense. So we're to be faithful. We are to be pillars in the church. It's what we're called to be as Christians. And so if we're going to be a faithful believer, we have that relationship with one another. We are to be encouragers. We are to be teachers. We are to be the support and the exhortation. One of the things that we'll get into here in a little bit in chapter 6 in Galatians is our responsibility to restore one another, to come alongside when people fail, when people slip, is that we have a responsibility in the church to restore, that our faithfulness toward Christ, our faithfulness toward the church is manifested in restoration as well. But faithfulness also has a very distinct tie to the word faith, obviously. We have that word in there. And when we talk about faithfulness in our relationship with God, we're getting into some similar things, but there's some other things that we need to be aware of here. When we talk about cheerfulness, you know, if you say, you know, somebody's cheerful, they are full of cheer. They're happy. And we use that expression generally because they're that way all the time. Or generally, that's the characteristic. And so when we use the word faithfulness in its breaking out the English and blowing the word apart, we get someone who is full of faith all the time. That should be the characteristic. Well, faith in what? I've mentioned this any number of times that faith in and of itself is not the point. Faith has to have an object. The object of our faith is God in the person of Jesus Christ. We have to have faith in God. And it's got to be directed. And so to be filled with faith in God all the time is the spiritual side of faithfulness. And it brings up a real interesting thought, and we kind of touched on some of this in Sunday school this morning, is the idea that faith in God is not something that just happens to us. We don't suddenly have a moment of faith, and that's who we are. Now we've had our faith, and we're believers, and we're saved, and we're all good for the rest of our lives. Is that faith and faithfulness imply a long-term, ongoing relationship, something that stands firm over the test of time. We're back to those pillars, that faithfulness toward God. Exercising faith toward God is something that we do over time. We continue in it. That we are faithful today and we are faithful tomorrow and we were faithful yesterday. That we continue in faith through everything that happens. Now you can find a lot of examples of faithfulness toward God in Scripture. Abraham's a really great example. Because Abraham demonstrates faithfulness. And there again, faith in God that is just an academic idea doesn't really get us anywhere. We can have this academic idea that we have faith in God. But when you look at the people who are faithful in Scripture, the ones that God talks about as having faith, we get somebody like Abraham. Abraham is counted as faithful because he takes his faith and he puts it to work. He does what God calls him to do. He leaves his home country. He goes into a foreign land. He follows God's instructions. And Abraham follows God's instructions even though Abraham never receives the promise. He never receives the things that God promises to him. But Abraham believes that God will fulfill the promise. And Abraham is faithful toward God. He's faithful toward God to the extent that when God promises him a son, that this son is the one that you're going to become a great nation through. You're going to become the father of a multitude of nations through your son Isaac. And then when God says, okay, take your son Isaac, the one that's the promise, the one that the whole line is going to come to, take him out and offer him as a sacrifice to me. Abraham says, okay, Lord, I'm sure you've got a plan. And he does it. God intervenes. He doesn't sacrifice Isaac. But he was willing to go to that extent. His faith in God translated into faithfulness. Is that when it became something that made no human sense whatsoever, Abraham still had that pillar of faithfulness. He was still solidly there doing what God called him to do. And he went ahead. He demonstrated faithfulness all the way through his life, even though he didn't see the results of that. You know, we confront a lot of things where God calls us to be faithful. He calls on us to, you know, plant our feet and stand here. And we don't know where it's going. We don't know what the plan is. We don't understand. He says, be faithful. And as much as anything, we can be faithful because we've seen so many things where God has fulfilled his promises. You know, Abraham was kind of working from a blank slate. You think about that. Abraham didn't have a lot of examples that he could go back to. He couldn't go and look up in Scripture and see where God had been faithful about this, that, and the other thing. He had some of this stuff, but he had a pretty thin book. We've got this massive volume of things that God has been faithful time after time after time to do the things that he said he was going to do. The faithfulness of God is one of the major themes through Scripture. And, you know, you could pull probably several hundred passages to use for that. I want us to look at two different things. One is Deuteronomy 7:9. And in Deuteronomy 7:9, you know, this is God going over the history of the Israelites, basically. But he says, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. He is God, the faithful God, the pillar, the one who stands firm, and he fulfills his promises. He will keep them. Now, the the time delay sometime gets in there, and we struggle with time delays. But he's made promises to us, and he made promises to people, and he's fulfilled promise after promise after promise. Now, I want us to jump up then to Romans. And in Romans chapter 3, Romans 3:3, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Now there's the thing, when we think about the example of God as setting what defines faithfulness, God defines faithfulness. As human beings, we tend to lose faith in other people when they fail. Paul points out here, he says, don't lose faith in God because people fail. God's faithfulness extends beyond what people do. I see so many people over the years who have lost faith in God because some religious person failed them, a pastor or a Christian friend or something, that they've lost faith in God because some person who claimed Christ failed them. Now that puts a burden on us as believers that we shouldn't fail people if we can possibly avoid it. Because if we're going to claim Christ, then we need to live Christ. But when someone looks at us as weak, frail humans and equates how we do to how God does, they're making a fundamental error in understanding. God is not copying us. God is not a model of us. We copy God. We're a weak shadow model of what God can do. When God is faithful, he is faithful infinitely, indefinitely. Our faithfulness is subject to human weakness, our will, our strength, whether we get distracted. There's 1,000 reasons why we fail. But anytime someone looks at a human being and because of the failure of a human being thinks that God is a failure or God is inadequate, they've got a fatal misunderstanding of who God is. If we want to understand God's faithfulness, we can look clear back and we can say, from the very beginning, God loved his creation. All of the things that God did to preserve Israel, all of the things that he went through, putting up with some pretty miserable people and stuff over time, he was preserving Israel because God was fulfilling a promise, because God was being faithful to bring that promise to fruition that there would be a Messiah. That was the promise. And the Messiah came, and Jesus was born, and he walked on earth, and he lived among men, and he knew what it was to be human. And then Jesus went to the cross and he died for our sins. He took the burden of our sins on himself and he died. And he overcame that. And he rose again. And he provides us the means of salvation, the deliverance from our sin. God's faithfulness from the very beginning of mankind, from that first sin until up to today and into eternity, he demonstrates his love, and the coming of Jesus Christ is an ultimate demonstration of God's faithfulness over time, that he would do what he said he would do, and that Jesus Christ is alive, that we remember that Jesus is alive. Communion is an excellent time for us to think about the faithfulness of God. Because we come to the communion table and we consider what Jesus did. We think about the price that he paid. We think about the the burden that he took to the cross. And this is an exercise in remembering his faithfulness. And when we take these elements, one of the things that we have in the scripture is that we do this until he comes again. And he's promised that he's coming again. He's promised that he's going to return for his people. And as we come to the communion table, the faithfulness of God says that, yes, he will come again. We remember that promise. We remember the price that was paid. And we remember that he is faithful. What he said he will do, he will do. So as we come to the table today, think about faithfulness. Think about God's faithfulness. That he was faithful to Abraham. Abraham didn't see the promise fulfilled. Isaac didn't see the promise fulfilled. Jacob didn't see the promise fulfilled. We've seen that promise fulfilled. We have seen the Messiah. God's faithfulness is demonstrated in Jesus Christ. Let's remember that as we come to the table. Could I have the elders come forward, please?